Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 48.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right. Here we are. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 48. Thank you all for being here. My name is Brendan Lowe. I will be your host, and in today's episode, we will be going over the ballad. Yes, the scary, fearful ballad. And oh no, not because it's fast, right? Because it's slow. And when we play ballads, it exposes us, right? Because we have space, there's a lot of space we need to deal with, we need to manage. What do we play in the space? It's just so gosh darn slow. It's like, what do we do with this? So I'm going to be going over the ballad. I absolutely love ballads. You know, as you mature as a pianist, you're going to fall in love with ballads more and more just for the beauty of them. And rarely do people play ballads well. Obviously, the pros do on all the albums. They play ballads very, very well. But there's an art and a skill to playing a very beautiful ballad, because they can be butchered as well. So we don't want to do that. But again, first of all, you can tell I have a lot of energy. If you're joining me on this podcast for the first time, I welcome you. There are a lot of episodes. Obviously, we're at 48 right now. But my goal with Jazz Piano School, I built Jazz Piano School, is to provide the best jazz piano education to everyone around the world. A website we're associated with is jazzpianoschool.com. We have a lot of great free content on there, including transcriptions, a blog full of different posts, specifically a post by Fred Hirsch, David Hazeltine, and we're working on getting some more guest artists to blog on there as well. And then we have the podcast. And obviously, for people looking to really, really efficiently improve their skills, we have our JPS main course, which has been around, and people, a lot of happy members, are using to improve their skills with a structured, step-by-step organized system, which I created for everyone, and possibly you listening right now. So that's my little spiel. Again, I have a little bit of energy here. I just got back from a small vacation. I was in Mexico, kind of just taking a couple days off. It was so much fun. I've never been there before, but it was just amazing. I mean, I was in Puerto Vallarta. My Spanish is non-existent. I know how to say hola and gracias. So that's it. I took French in high school. I'm more of a French-speaking person, even though I probably butcher that language too. But it was just phenomenal. It was really nice to get away. You know, we need to take those little breaks, you know, here and there, and it's easy to get lost in the daily grind of life, right? The problems and stress and things that come up, things we gotta do. Oh, I gotta run to the store, I gotta grocery store, I gotta pick up this for my kids, I gotta go to school, oh, I'm stuck in traffic now, you know? You know, sit down, take some time for yourself, make sure you take time for yourself. And a lot of times that's through music for people, which is really great. So even listening to this podcast, whether you're in the car, at your piano, watching the video, it's just great that you're doing this, because music definitely is transformative for your soul, your peace of mind, and just who you are as a person, right? To spread your gifts to everyone, you need to be at the optimal, you need to be in an optimal performance mindset, right? Or optimal mindset for your health, your emotional state, things like that. So I always try and put my if I'm grumpy or anything like that, if I haven't eaten, or if I'm just working my butt off, right, and I'm just all over the place, I'm not going to be able to give the people around me that I love, and all of you listeners as well, my undivided attention, right? My education and how I want to help others is not going to come off in its best possible way. So that is why I took a small vacation. I encourage you to do the same thing. But anyway, that's my little spiel. I feel rejuvenated. It was amazing. I drank a Corona on the beach of Mexico in a Corona chair. It was awesome. So here we go. I'm going to be going over the ballad. In this episode, there is no giveaway for the practice materials, simply because they're more conceptual, right? They're very conceptual. So you can watch this, and I'm going to still systematically go through step by step, but nothing to give away for this episode. And a lot of the, we started a couple episodes ago giving away materials that you can get, but not for this one. So here we go. 8-minute intro. Wow. The ballot, right? So the ballot is very, very difficult for people, obviously for the main reason that it's slow. Ballots are very slow. And ballots have come, you know, through transformation back, you know, maybe in the 60s and 50s. There was more of a walking ballot, 30s, 40s, right? Some of the ballots were meant to be slow dance to, even earlier than that. So ballots can be played in a lot of different ways. Right now, I'm going to be talking about the group, playing a ballad with a group or a trio, not solo piano ballad, because that's a whole different ballgame, right? It's actually easier to play a ballad with a group because it's slow. You have time to play your left-hand voicings. You have time to play the melody. And ultimately, to start off, that's what I'm going to be talking about, is playing a ballad as beautifully as you possibly can. And one of my professors at the New School University once told me the hardest thing for anyone to do that he's seen come through, it's not play fast, it's not play these amazing killer lines, right? Play these licks that are going to impress people. You know, anyone can do that, and most people work on that. The hardest thing, right, is for people to play a ballad, learn the lyrics, and play the ballad and the melody so they match with the lyrics, and you're not altering the melody. You're playing it as written as the composer wrote the melody. And if you can go through a ballad and play the melody flawlessly so that it fits with the lyrics and make it beautiful without changing the notes or the rhythms, then you truly have perfected the ballad. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't change the ballad, because in jazz, obviously, you have freedom over the structure of the tune and things like that. But in life, and a lot of times I relate my education to life principles, some things are just beautiful in their simplest form, right? Most things, a lot of things in life, when you really take a close look at it, is just beautiful without adding a whole bunch of extra stuff to it. So with this first point, there's going to be 4 points today. The first point is I want you to practice playing your ballads to the point that you can touch people, you can move people, you can feel connected. I want your, whoever's listening, even yourself, I want you to feel so connected to that melody, right, that you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to improvise. You don't have to solo. You don't have to add extra notes. You don't have to add extra rhythms, extra chords. You simply play that beautiful written ballad in its purest form with the changes that were written by the composer, with the notes that were written by the composer, to get the ultimate depth to the tune. So that's what I'm going to do for you right now, and kind of talk and play as I go along. So the tune that I love a lot is I Fall in Love Too Easily. So I'm going to cue up my backup track here off iReal Pro. That's probably sounds like a plug. I don't get any compensation, but I recommend everyone has that app. It's amazing. The bass player who made it actually played with me in Boston a couple times at some jam sessions. Phenomenal, right? And in the JPS course, I recommend I have that practice exercises that link up. They don't link up, but I recommend using tracks from iReal Pro with the practice exercises so that you kind of have that combination going. But here we go. And again, just a quick note, I know you're itching here to get going. The ballad style has a lot of different styles. Now, rhythmically, I enjoy playing ballads as more of an even ballad style. So one and two. And a lot of people will swing a ballad, or they don't know the difference. It's like where some drummers will play a swing ballad, one and two and three. It sounds like a tease dance, you know, from the 20s. Boom, 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 right? So you know, you can play a ballad that way, and I'll just demonstrate that quickly. But what I'm going to do right now is I have the ballad even rhythmic track hooked up, and that's going to be with brushes on the drums and bass player playing a nice open feel. And I have my metronome set at 50. So it's very slow. I'm going to play probably through the first 8 bars of I Fall in Love Too Easily. And, you know, if I'm into it, then I'll go through the entire thing. But you'll definitely get the point after those 8 bars. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, obviously I had a couple slides in there I added, right? But again, just the melody, just playing, kind of thinking of the lyrics, playing it very, very simple and beautiful. And that's all it takes. Now, I did have a couple transfers of right hand kind of voicings into my left hand. I think I played this, right? I also started with the tune like this. Okay, a nice spread. Thick, solid voicing to start the tune off. But again, we don't need that. And the way I recommend you start off, if you're a beginner, if you're more advanced, you can start to transfer some ideas into your full spread voicing. Right? You can harmonize the melody. But again, with a rhythm section, which I'm focusing on here today, you don't need to do that. That's more of a solo piano technique, right? To fill in the space. With your rhythm section, trust your rhythm section, trust your group. And if you're playing with a great bass player and a great drummer, they'll give you that space. They won't fill in the holes, because one of the points I'm here that I want to make, obviously, is utilize the space, feel the space, right? There's a lot of space and the space is good. That adds, right? You need breath. And during that space, you're breathing. Just like people, when you talk, I need to breathe, otherwise it's gonna sound like a constant stream of mush. So again, my first tip to you is to practice your ballads, make them as beautiful as possible, use your left hand voicings, use your right hand melody, okay? Now, as we'll get into this further, I have a couple points that I want to make, but this is a good time for the melody. You'll hear this come up multiple times. Your left hand, people struggle with their left hand, or they feel like they wanna pedal a lot. Okay, now I don't want you to start pedaling. I want you to use your left hand as a palette and hold your notes and only pedal that small movement when the melody is not happening to get to your next voicing, right? So here I'm holding just the movement to get to my next voicing. I pedal just a little bit, but I lift up off the pedal because I want to be able to phrase my melody how I want it, right? I don't want the melody to get mushed together. So when I have my pedal down, it sounds like this. Right, the notes, they're not clearly being spoken or said. It's like I fall in love instead of I fall in love, right? And if I want to breathe with the melody, right? Then if I have the pedal down, I'm not gonna be able to do that. The note's gonna ring out. Okay, so that is, let me give you an example of that. Okay, again, I'm just pedaling quickly those changes, but nothing else. Here we go. Okay, pedal, right? Pedal's off now. Pedal, off. Right, you can hear the pedals off here. And then I'll breathe here. Pedal here quickly. Okay, so just slight, very slight pedaling. I don't want you to get in the habit of playing a ballad full through with the pedal. So again, first thing to making ballads sound beautiful is we're focusing on the melody. Our left hand is just playing rootless voicing palette with holding, right? Just playing chords, no big movements. And we want to kind of voice lead that as best as possible, right? And stay close to the melody. Now, if the melody overlaps your left hand voicing, you can do one of two things. You can just play the melody by itself and then fill in, or you can just play the melody with no chord, right? And play the next chord with your left hand and lift the melody, right? So, melody, and then I'd play my next chord, which is my A7, flat 5, flat 13 rather, okay? So that's how you can kind of structure that. But number one, again, focus on the melody, focus making it beautiful. All right, number two, before we get into improv, okay, so we've played, I want to talk about comping a little bit. Now, if you've listened to the previous podcast episodes and you're kind of moving through them as we release them on Fridays, you've just listened to the comping version, okay? And in the comping podcast, one and two, part one and two, I was talking about everything, all the registers on the keyboard. So when you're comping a ballad, the number one goal for you to think about is support. And a lot of people get carried away thinking that they need to play more. But the best thing you can do is feel comfortable with just playing simple, right? And we need to practice that. We need to practice listening. Okay, I'm gonna give you a really, good trick. I'm getting some hiccups here. I'm gonna give you a really good trick right now. In order to make yourself more patient, if you have this anxiety, like, oh, I need to play, you're playing a lot, right? I've always had this, I had this too. And one of my teachers, one of the people, you know, mentors I've had, gave me a really great trick. And he says, if you're listening hard to the quality and the sound of the notes that you're playing, you're not going to want to play more because you're not thinking about playing, you're thinking about listening to those notes. So like when I play a chord, let's say I play this. If I'm thinking about playing my next chord, like, oh, what am I gonna play? Or, you know, I wanna try and fill in more. I'm not really paying attention to the tone or the sound of the piano that I'm getting out of the piano. All I'm thinking about is how can I play more, really. But if I focus on listening to the tone of the notes that I'm pressing, right, then my action that I'm taking is going to be that of listening and not thinking about what I'm going to play. So when I play this down, my ear and my brain is saying, okay, I'm going to listen to these notes. So here we go. I'm listening, right? And I'm listening to the decay in the sound. I'm listening to the sound hit, and I'm listening to it drop, right, as it starts to fade out. Now, obviously, this is a keyboard and not a real piano. When the hammers hit the strings and the strings start to vibrate and the vibration diminishes, this tip is going to be a lot more effective, but it still works on keyboards because, you know, the sound's going to diminish as well. But comping wise, this is how you're going to be patient. So let me give you, before I talk about voicings and the registers and everything, let me just give you a small brief version of how I comp through ballads, okay? And you might be bored because it's very simple and I'm not doing much. Here we go. Thank you. That's it. Now, obviously, you might say, oh, some of those movements were very nice. And I'm going to talk about them in a second. But my main point is, you want simplicity. You want solidarity, right? Just solid comping movements, okay? And again, I barely played any other rhythms in my chords than half notes. Because most, and again, depending upon the changes you have, and I fall in love too easily, most of the changes are a chord for every two beats. So I have one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Okay, and that's it. And besides, sometimes I'll roll the chords, but rhythmically, I'm not playing, right? That was a terrible example. I'm not playing one, two. Right, just simple comping, solid palette. We want to provide a palette for whoever's singing, playing over us, you know, improvising. Now, obviously, improvising, if you're comping for a soloist, is a little different because if they go into a different area, you want to follow them. But let's just say you're comping below the melody, a saxophone player playing the melody or a singer singing the melody, just with a group, just simple stuff. That's what I do right there. Now, as far as registers and voicings, like what do I play? Like what do I comp on a ballad, voicings? Everything in the comping podcast I've done, part one and two, I can't go over everything, applies. So we have all registers available to us, okay? The low end, medium low, middle, medium, and high. I didn't do anything in the high register, but I could have, okay? But again, you're trying to create a nice palette, and ultimately, usually, I want to stay for the melody. I want to stay underneath the melody because I want the melody to be on top of me. I don't want to take over the melody by playing up here super high, right? But again, sometimes that high register can be more ornamental, so the melody still sounds high, but you just want to watch out. If you're comping in the same register that the melody is, you know, so my melody here, I wouldn't comp like this. That's going to be in the exact same register that the melody is, and it's going to ruin the melody. Right, so these are the small things you want to think about. So I would stay under here with thicker voicings in my registers. But again, what to play? I can't do it all in this episode. Listen to the comping episodes. I'm using the same things I teach you guys in those podcasts. So in the medium low, I have 1 and 7 and possibly rootless voicings, right? Maybe a drop 2. 1 and 5, right, in the low end, rootless voicing and bass note. Okay, 1 and 10, rootless voicing here. 1 and 7, rootless voicing. So the general rules of what I'm playing, voicing-wise, follows the exact same pattern that I teach you guys in comping part one and part two. Okay, so I'm going to utilize the entire piano now to comp so you guys can hear what that sounds like and just show you the support you can give. Again, rhythmically, I'm just doing half notes now. I'm going to give you one step further after that. That's going to add a little flair to your comping, but just for now, that's what I'm going to do. So here's all registers. I'll start with a nice thick sound. Drop 2, right? Drop 2. A little roll there. 1 and 10, rootless voicing. 1 and 7 in my left hand, rootless voicing, just bass note. Just bass note. Maybe I'll go up here. So my point here is that everything applies in the comping podcast that I talked about. All registers apply to a ballot. It doesn't just have to stay. And again, I will switch things up. You know, when do you do this? It's up to you. That's the freedom of comping. But again, you always want to remember you want to provide support. So the only other extra flair I might provide to my comping is small melodic movements. You might have seen that tie my changes together. So I might have... So the line that I used to connect everything was this. So da-da, and they're usually one or two notes. And again, I'm using these as basically melodic counter lines, usually during the bars where there's whole notes, right? The sax player, the singer is just holding. And instead of just going from chord to chord, this is at the end of the fourth bar, right? Just switching chords, there is some space in there for us to fill. Now, I'm not talking about fills where we, I wouldn't really, it's too flashy. I mean, you're working on creating beauty, right? That's the hard thing. It's easy to be flashy and showy. It's hard to get beauty out of simplicity. But with these connections, it just adds a nice little counter melody to whatever the soloist or the singer or the saxophone player does with their melody. So we have this. I fall in love too fast. And then I might play. Right? Okay, so I'm just adding a slight counter melody to connect my changes. And again, you want to be conscious of where you're putting those connections. When the melody has a lot going on, just leave it out. If there's space, like in this tune, there's a couple whole notes, some dotted half notes, where the melody is just holding. And those places are great opportunities to take advantage of those little counter melodies. Here we go, I'll just do a first maybe eight bars here. And I'll show you these counter melodies, here we go. So even that little, these are just small counter melodies, right? I can even do this with one hand, right? Right? Just one note it takes. Right? Just those, see that small resolution there? Right? Just that adds a lot, but you're doing it in such a simple manner that it's not affect, it's a taste, it's a flavor, it's a season, right, to the tune. It's not overbearing, you're not adding too much salt, you're not adding too much pepper, right? It's just a little taste. And all I did there was played my sus with my flat nine, and I broke it up. So I gave my sus, added my, I pressed the button with my leg. All I did was add the flat nine and then resolve. Just a little nice harmony in the space where that whole note is holding. Okay, so that's another thing to work on. You can take that to the next level there too. So comping, again, create voices, be selective with your fills, enjoy the space, enjoy the support you're giving, enjoy the melody, and listen. Listen hard to the melody. Don't be so concerned with what you're playing. Play as simple as possible and provide support. People will love to play with you, and you're going to create beautiful music when you do that and not overdo it. So here we are, going on to improv, okay? Now, this is very difficult for people to improv over a ballad because it's so slow. Now on this tune, I have this at 50. I mean, I could improv. Oh, I love some of these albums. Eric Reed, one of my teachers, obviously, did a podcast with me. I think his album is called Pure Imagination. And if you guys have Spotify or have that album, go check it out. Eric Reed, Pure Imagination. He plays Pure Imagination so slowly. I think it's at 30. Right? Let me hear the tempo.
Let me hear the tempo of 30 and see if that's where it is. The iReal Pro doesn't even go down below 40. That's so funny. There it is. I haven't played that tune in forever. So this is how he starts his tune off. Two, three, four. So slow, but when listening to it, it's because he's not anxious, right? He's not worried about filling the space because he's utilizing the space as part of the tune. And so that's what you need to feel about your improv. Don't feel like the space is hurting you. Space is breath, right? Space is adding to your improv. It's adding to your solo. And when you can listen to your notes and utilize the space and enjoy the space, enjoy those breaths, right? You don't need to say much. You just need to say something profound. And that's all it takes. And then leave that space. Okay? So focus on that. We want to first start off with simple, simple melodies. Okay? Practice leaving that space. And just focus on melodies. And I would recommend just doing this with one hand, okay? And don't even worry about adding your left hand in. Just see if you can play beautiful, beautiful melodies with your right hand while soloing, and your left hand isn't playing anything, okay? So again, here we go. I have this on 50, ballad even. I'm just gonna solo with my right hand and create melodies and again, trust your rhythm section. This is all about group playing. Obviously, when you're playing solo piano with slow tunes, it's a lot different story because you're held accountable for everything, the rhythms, the bass notes, the fills. But when you have other players in your group, they support you. They got your back, right? The bass player and the drummer. Okay, so trust them. Trust the space. Here we go. I'm trusting my iReal Pro track right now to support me. Space, right? Breathe on your phrases. Now I just played very, very simple, beautiful, like great, you know what, melodies. Simple, simple, beautiful melodies. That's what I was focusing on. Now, you don't have any support with your left hand. I haven't even added the left hand in, but it's not going to do much if you can't do that with your right hand. Be simple. Practice playing simple. And when you get that down, trust me, oh my goodness, your playing is going to, you're going to have extreme breakthroughs if you practice as simple as possible, creating simple, simple melodies. Okay, that's the very first thing. And again, we're not trying to add lots of rhythms, right? I want you to practice quarter notes, eighth notes. Not a lot of eighth notes, right? One and two and three. And practice in time, okay? I haven't even gone and talked about moving outside the box of the tempo. Just practice in time, evenly, creating melodies. This is a very, very important point, okay? So let me just demonstrate that one more time. Listen closely. Practice simple melodies in time because you're working on the melody creation, that's going to sound beautiful, and you're developing a connection with that melody. Here we go. Simple. Quarter notes, half notes, eighth notes, whole notes. Right? Nice, simple melody there, right? I could make a motif off that. Whole note. Two, three, breath. Still using the same motif. Changing it up. Breath. Resolution. Whole note, breath. Breath, whole note, eighth notes. Some approach notes. Mostly quarter notes, half notes, whole notes, some eighth notes. But again, just very, very simple melodies. Okay, let's add a left hand in. And then we'll get into more advanced improv techniques. So adding the left hand in, again, we're creating a palette. I'm just holding my chords down, rootless voicings, right? Listen to Keith Jarrett's ballads with his trio, just phenomenal, right? Just beautiful, open ballads. Your left hands fill in the space. You want them to come out more prominently when you give those whole notes with your right hand, right? Otherwise, it's just creating the palette, right? Just simple movements with a little pedal to connect everything. Now I add a little bit of voice leading with some connecting notes, but again, you don't even have to do that. You could just have a standard inversion here to rootless to inversion. So again, the purpose of the left hand is just to lay down the palette for your right hand. Here we go. Both hands together. So my left hand just filled that space. Now my right hand speaks again. Nice little melody there. Now my left hand couldn't fill here. Right? You see how they're kind of having conversation? Okay, I got to be conscious of the time here because in my last podcast I went over. But that's how we connect them. Now, once we're able to do that, we've worked on our melodies. Step one for improv, okay? Melody alone, work on simplicity. Step two, connect your left hand, your right hand as simple as possible. Simple melodies with your left hand filling in the gaps so you're having a conversation with your hands, right? When you're soloing over the ballad. You have to get comfortable with the simple melodies first though, right, in order to speak those slow statements using quarter notes and even eighth notes and half notes and whole notes. Now we go on to textures and expanding our improv to speak, right? We're gonna break out of the box. You don't obviously have to play in the right in the pocket during a ballad. Since the time's moving so slow, we can float over the time of the ballad where our left hand talks with the right hand to provide that kind of counter speaking or conversation. Now, textures are great, and again, there's a podcast earlier on talking about the Winton texture I love using over ballads, and that's just statements. You're kind of speaking. You're just speaking fluidly over top of your left hand, not pedaling, and I'll show you what I mean. And textures are great for ballads, right? Because you have two different things going on. You have the floating and the kind of just speaking, and then you have the even pocket melodic lines. And you go back and forth between the floating of the melodies, like over top movements, lots of different movements. You can add more 16th notes, 32nd notes, runs, and things like that. You can get more movement going on. And then you fall back into the pocket, which creates a nice resolution to meld with the band. So it's like you're kind of pulling away from the band a little bit, doing your own thing, and then you come back into the pocket with the trio or with the group you're playing with and meld back into them. I'm trying to find the right word, you know, so you're kind of connecting. So let me show you that. I'm gonna show you the more movement type now and how it fits with my left hand, how my left hand supports that and allows my right hand to move over top of the constant steady motion of the ballad. Here we go. So I'm just speaking, right? Short statements. So I just played one line. Just like that. And I didn't, you know, there was no time. Just like that, right? Just a nice statement. And then I was about to resolve it. So just little statements like that. Here we go. Whoops. I'll start from the beginning again. 2, 3, 4. And notice how my phrases at the end are short. I'm leaving them short purposely for a reason. Motif going here. Whoops, sorry. Hard to talk and play at the same time. Back into the pocket. Right? So there's myself falling back into the pocket again. Here's a better example. Movement. Back into the pocket, right? Pocket. Okay? So, again, get creative with your movements. You don't have to. You have the support and trust of your rhythm section. The bass player and drummer are going to hold it down. Hopefully they're solid musicians. They can hold that down. You have freedom. You have your freedom to move around with that right hand, and your left hand is tying into the drummer and the bass player, right? With your comping. If you notice my comping, still very solid. F minor to B flat. And again, but I'm having a conversation. If my right hand's doing a lot, I might say this. Oh, crap. My right hand might play something. And then my left hand speaks. And then my left hand, right? Okay, so let me just demonstrate the conversation here between the two. Here we go. 3, 4. Okay, left hand will speak, give some space. Left hand, right, just laying it down. Back in the pocket. And then my left hand speaks. So that movement is phrasing, I'm phrasing, right? And again, these are very, very advanced. Don't feel like you don't need to make huge runs like that, but you can get out of the pocket simply, right? Right, even just that is getting outside the pocket rather than going right, just play. You don't always have to play in the pocket, okay? So combining that. Now textures, right? So we just talked about your right hand with your left hand conversation and movements outside the pocket, kind of weaving in and out of falling back into the pocket with the trail and then kind of doing your own thing. Now textures is what I want to talk about. Not completely last, almost last, I guess. But again, this is kind of 3 and 4. I didn't really structure these points too well because everything kind of blends together. But textures are great in ballads, right? Really, really great. And you want to focus on textures because, again, they're like spices. So your slides, trills, the way you phrase something, right? You can put staccato in there. You can put legato notes, your phrasing, slurs, things like that, ties, holds, all those kinds of things. Repeated motifs are really going to help kind of spice up or give your solo flavor, right? And something to grasp onto. It's just great. And it's phenomenal when I hear people do this. It's just so, it just draws you in, right? So I'm going to give you a little sample of textures now, ballad textures again, and just notice what I'm doing because I'm not thinking about notes anymore. I'm thinking about textures and contrast. So I'll play a texture and then I'll fall back in. I'll play a texture and then fall back in. All right, here we go. Start out with a bang here. Right, so I kind of had that texture and then I fell back in. Right, so I had that texture, right, going on. Right, back to my melodies. Back in. Fall back in. Okay, so again, these kind of textures, you're just thinking about little textures. You have fun with it. You know, have fun with the piano. It's a very rhythmic instrument. It's, you know, people really view this a lot melodically so many times, like, oh, the notes. There's so many notes because we're always visually staring at 88 keys, but it's a percussive instrument, right? Think about the rhythm and the percussiveness you can get out of this, okay? So again, just to review the points, I got 9 minutes left of my film here in my recording. Melody. Start by practicing the melody. Simple. Right hand only. Practice your ballads. Melody. Get as beautiful and as simple as possible. And you'll know you have it when you can get through the whole tune and not feel anxious that you're not playing a lot. You're feeling the beauty of the music. You're feeling the beauty and listening to the sound that's being created by your hands and your expression, and you're connected to that sound, okay? That's when you'll know you have it. Add your left hand in after you're able to do that, and then do the same thing over again. Play the melody as beautifully as possible with your left hand now. And I would actually go a step further too. I'd recommend playing your left hand comping through the tune with your left hand alone. Again, this is very more advanced. You can use simple voicings, but just make sure you have your left hand down cold because that needs to be your anchor. Right, your left hand is going to be your anchor. It's not doing much. It just needs to be the voicing, the harmonic palette. Okay. Number two, comping for other people. This is more of a side tip, side point to practice. You can use all registers. You can comp however you want. Make it beautiful and make it simple. Half notes, whole notes. again, to take it a step further, use those connecting notes or counter melodies to use to move your voicings around, okay? Kind of stay under the melody or add some textures if you want up high, but really be conscious of where the melody is. Now, if someone's soloing, they go into double time or something, sure, you can, right? You can go with the band. I just dropped my phone. So that's number two. And feel supportive, feel calm, and enjoy the space when you're comping, right? Let the soloist or the melody of the singer, whoever's doing it, let them do their job. You're just there for harmonic support. And again, the bass might be moving around. They might say, you know, depending upon who it is, but all I'm doing is laying down the chords. Boom, two, boom, two. Two. One connection there. One connection there with that note, right? Okay, so that's comping. Improv, okay? Connect beautiful melodies with your improv, right hand alone. Work on that first. Work on soloing in the pocket with beautiful melodies, okay? Add your left hand. Your right hand, your left hand should have a conversation. Your left hand helps your right hand, right? Chord, chord. Chord, chord. You can breathe. Three, four, one. Okay, so that left hand and right hand should work together. Okay, when your right hand's not speaking, your left hand has a chance to kind of add in just a little bit and come out with those harmonies. And then finally, your right hand movements outside the box, right? And the textures, okay? So right now, just before I end, I'm just gonna give you a couple quick bars of more textures and a full ballad solo here. Oh, I got 5 minutes left. So here we go. This is all the textures I talked about in a solo. Me just soloing as I would on any ballad. A little reharm there. I was kind of overdoing it slightly with the textures because I wanted to demonstrate that, but my purpose is to explore, right? I want you guys to explore your textures, explore the nice, solid, slow palette that you have. Get into the slowness, right? Use the space, use that very slow tempo to your advantage. Play over top if you want, play in it. It's just, you can make great, great, beautiful music. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. If you enjoyed the podcast, again, I'd love you for you to leave a 5-star rating, or if you want to leave a review too, I would love that. Everything helps. All I'm trying to do is spread amazing jazz piano education to the world so they have the opportunities to learn to their best advantage and make their dreams come true by playing jazz piano and expressing themselves freely through music, because music is very powerful. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, thank you so much. I'll see you on the next podcast. Have a great weekend. Well, I guess maybe you might be listening to this on Monday, but if it's Friday, have a great weekend and happy practicing.